Amen. Let's take our Bibles tonight. Open to the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. Matthew, chapter 7. And continuing our series through the book of Matthew on the King and Kingdom in Matthew, chapter 7. And mentioned last week, the verses that we're looking at from verses 13 all the way into the chapter, they all just really kind of go together, but it's just really too much to try to fit into one message. There's just too much there. So we're kind of breaking it down a little bit. And so we're going to be in verses 15 through 20 tonight, 15 through 20, a little bit more than we got to last week. Last week we did two verses. Tonight we're getting a little bit more, but again, we're kind of keeping with the breakdown of the theme here. So in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, he says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." So again, as we're looking here in chapter 7, Jesus is kind of, he's concluding, he's finishing up his teaching of what is referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, began back in chapter 5, goes all the way through chapter 6 and chapter 7 as well. And so he's finishing this up, and he's been warning the listeners, warning those that are listening about being deceived. And that's what we really come to at the beginning of chapter 7 when he says, "Judge not lest ye be judged," right? He's talking about judging, discernment in judging, okay? And so in verses 1 through 6, he talks about beware of hypocritical judgment, right? Where we've got to be discerning. Again, I know a lot of times people use that verse and try to say, well, you're not supposed to judge, right? Judge not lest you be judged. You're not supposed to judge. But again, when we look at the whole passage here, he is talking about judging. He is talking about examining some things. That's why we just read here. He says at the end of the verse number 20, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." Right? That's judging, right? He's talking about being discerning, that spiritual discernment in judging, okay? And then in verses 7 through 11, verses 7 through 12, really talking about asking God for wisdom. We're needing to ask God for wisdom in discernment for judging, okay? We do have to be discerning, but we need God's wisdom. And the reason why, as he's talking about this, is because, like we looked at last week in verses 13 and 14, he talks about there's two roads, right? There's two gates. He talks about broad is the gate, right? Wide is the gate, and then narrow is the gate. So he talks about these two gates and how basically all religion, you can take all religion and kind of bring it down into one, and that is that wide gate, that broad way. And what does it do? It leads to destruction. But then he says there's the narrow gate, the narrow gate, that narrow path that leads to life everlasting. And by the way, that's not through religion either. That's through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that narrow way, okay? And that's why he says, few there be that find it. There are few that are willing to repent of their sin and to turn from that broad, easy, comfortable way that everybody's going and recognize that Jesus is the only way. It's not about religion. It's not about religious works. It's about Jesus Christ and him only. So we saw that last week in verses 13 and 14. And by the way, you've got to be spiritually discerning to be able to recognize that, okay? But now watch what he does when he comes to verses 15 through 20. In verses 15 through 20, he's warning us of false prophets. He says, "Beware of false prophets." Now, again, you can see the progression as we've been going through chapter 7. There's discernment in judging. We're seeking God for wisdom in judging. We're recognizing, especially the most important thing, which way of salvation is right. But now he talks about these false prophets, okay? Again, right after talking about the narrow gate and the broad way, Jesus warns that there will be those who are going to try to keep people on that broad way. They're going to try to hide that narrow gate, right? And if you go back up, notice what he says in verses 13 and 14, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go therein, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that," what are those last two words? "Find it," right? Here's what we're going to find, and this is why he says, beware of false prophets. Because guess what false prophets are going to do? They're going to try to hide it. Religion tries to hide the straight gate, the narrow way. Religion tries to hide the way that leads to life. False prophets try to hide these things, okay? And so Jesus is warning and saying, beware of false prophets. And here's the thing. False prophets are dangerous because they don't announce themselves as false prophets. I don't know if you ever knew that, right? But somebody that is a false prophet does not get up and say, "I just want everybody to know tonight, I am a false prophet. Listen to what I have to say." They're not going to do that, right? And so they're dangerous because they're being deceitful, they're being deceptive in what they're doing. They disguise themselves as the servants of God, right? They disguise themselves as being from God, men of God, women of God, whatever they say, right? And this is what Paul actually warned the Ephesians, especially the elders there in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 30. He says, "Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things." So Paul is warning the Ephesians. He's saying, hey, even among yourselves in your church, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be some that are going to try to speak false doctrine. There's going to be some trying to teach false things. Peter warned in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1, there will be false teachers among you. John warned in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Why? Because there's false teachers. Okay? The danger of false teachers and false prophets has never disappeared. It's always been there. From the time of Jesus, where he's giving the warning to Paul and to Peter and John, and even today, we have to beware of false prophets. And so this is what these next few verses are going to be going through. And again, being discerning about this. So notice the first thing. False prophets, watch this in verse number 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So here's the first thing Jesus points out. False prophets look like sheep. That's right. They look like sheep, right? Now again, think about this. Obviously, we understand Jesus many times refers to believers as sheep, right? He is the shepherd, right? And so he says these false prophets are going to come in and they're going to look like you and me. Again, they're not just going to pronounce themselves, hey, we're false prophets. We're here to destroy your church. We're here to cause division. We're here to plant some seeds of doubt. We're here to tell you that Jesus isn't the way. We're here to tell you don't believe the Bible. No, they're not going to do that, right? And this is why he says, beware of them, because they come to you in sheep's clothing, okay? They are ravening wolves. So Jesus tells us several things about this. Number one, first of all, we see that they are deceptive. These false prophets are deceptive. Again, he doesn't say they are sheep. Did you notice that? He says they come to you in sheep's clothing. They're not sheep. They're not believers. They've not put their faith in Jesus Christ. They're merely wearing sheep's clothing. So outwardly, they might look right. Outwardly, again, they're going to play the part, right? They're going to look the part. So outwardly, they're gonna be kind. Maybe they're gonna be loving. They're gonna be religious. They're gonna be moral. They're gonna be charismatic. They're gonna be successful, right? Outwardly, boy, because what happens? Because, man, they look like things are going really well, and people say, well, they must be of God. I mean, look at how charismatic they are. I mean, can anybody have a smile like that guy down in Texas? I mean, come on, right? I mean, he's just got the smile, you know? And so people look at success, they look at charisma, they look at all these things. Well, they have to be of God. Do they? It's interesting. John the Baptist didn't quite look that way. You know, John the Baptist, I would say if John the Baptist probably came through the back doors back there, everybody would, it'd be like the parting of the Red Sea, you know, everybody like, get away from him, because he didn't look the part, right? I mean, he, you know, he's wearing camel skins, right? I mean, I'm sure he's been living out in the desert. He's probably, I don't know how he smelled. Camel skin probably doesn't smell good, you know. He's eating locusts and wild honey. He's not cutting his hair. I mean, didn't really look the part, but yet this was, think about this, this was the forerunner of the Son of God. And so he says, you've got to be careful because it's not just the outward appearance. False teachers rarely look dangerous. Again, they have clothed themselves with sheep's clothing. They're trying to blend in. They're trying to look just like you and I. They're trying to make you feel at ease around them. Satan understands appearances. In 2 Corinthians 11:14, the Bible says Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now, if Satan can transform himself into an angel of light, if Satan can disguise himself as light, the Bible also says, so also can his servants. His servants can transform themselves into ministers of light. Again, it's gonna look good on the outside. Things are gonna look good, but he says, remember, don't forget who they are. They are ravening wolves, right? And here's the second thing, they're destructive. Again, Jesus says they are ravening wolves. I don't know if you've noticed this, but wolves and sheep don't usually get along. Just don't usually get along, right? Wolves have one motive when they see a sheep. Kill it. Kill it. Kill it, eat it. That's their desire, right? There's that one purpose, to consume the sheep. And Jesus said, or the Bible says in Romans chapter 16, verse number 17 and 18, Paul again giving a warning. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words, here's what he says, by good words and fair speeches. Good words and fair speeches. In other words, they get up, they say really nice things. Man, it sounds good, right? And yet, what does it say? They deceive the hearts of the simple. They're deceiving. They're in sheep's clothing. They're saying nice things. They're appearing to be right. You know, everything just sounds really good. But he says they're deceiving. They're deceitful. They're deceiving people. False teachers corrupt. They destroy by corrupting doctrine. Well, you know, is that doctrine really important? You know, does it really matter, you know, whether a person, you know, says that Jesus is the only way? I mean, as long as they just believe in Jesus, surely they could, you know, add something else to it. Again, they're not going to deny Jesus. They're not going to say don't believe in Jesus, but they're going to be, but is that really the only way? I mean, we know how much God loves everyone, and so we know God wants everyone to be saved. So as long as they believe in Jesus, but if they add something else to salvation, that, I'm sure that's okay too. What are they doing? They're trying to corrupt doctrine. They're trying to corrupt the doctrine that God has given to us. Try to compromise. You know, it's not really important whether we take a stand on truth. It's not really important whether we take a stand on marriage. You know, if people love each other, we should just let them, you know, do what they want to do. I mean, is that real? Wait a minute, hold on. What's the Bible say? What does God's word say? You see, they're going to try to corrupt doctrine. They're going to compromise. They're going to try even to deny Christ. They're going to try to remove the authority of Scripture. I mean, they're going to try to do all these different things. Again, and this is why it's so important that we are spiritually discerning, because they're not just coming right out and saying they're doing it. They're not just coming right out and saying these things, right? They're doing it in a very deceitful manner. They're doing it with a little bit of truth. There's a little bit of truth there, but then they're also putting a little bit of non-truth. And this is why he says, and this is why he started the whole chapter here on making sure that we are discerning. And then when he says, when we looked at the verses, ask, seek, and knock, it's about wisdom, getting wisdom from God, because these false prophets are gonna creep in and they're gonna try to teach things that are not according to the Bible. And if we are not spiritually discerning, what did he say? They're gonna deceive the hearts of the simple. They're gonna deceive people because, hey, well, this is why you've heard me say this so many times. Look, when I preach something, it's your responsibility to check and make sure that I'm preaching it. It's your responsibility to make sure that what I'm preaching comes from the Word of God, because that means you have to know the Word of God. You have to know Scripture. You can't just sit there and say, well, you're the pastor, you're the man of God, so you just tell us what we need to know. No. You know what that's doing? That's opening a door for a false prophet. That's opening a door for someone that is clothed in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Why? Because they see, and this is so sad, but there are many churches like this where the congregation is not spiritually discerning, and somebody with a great personality and great charisma and things comes in, and oh boy, this is a great guy, and we just love him. And what happens? He begins leading the church in a totally opposite direction. 5 years down the road, they look back and we're like, well, how did we get here? Well, because we weren't spiritually discerning. We didn't know the Word of God to be able to say, hey, wait a second, I don't think what he's saying there is true. I don't think that's coming from the Word of God. Where is that coming from? You see, this is why it's so important that we are spiritually discerning, because these false prophets are destructive. They are inwardly ravening wolves. And here's the thing. Notice what he says. He says, beware of false prophets which come to you. You know, so many times we think the attack on the church is coming from the outside. And yes, that's true. The world can bring attack and persecution against the church. There's no doubt about it, right? Honestly, though, I would say, and this is just my own opinion, if you disagree with me, that's fine. I would say when the world attacks the church from the outside, it almost helps the church to strengthen itself, right? Because we're saying, hey, wait a second, the world is attacking the church, and so we're gonna band together, we're gonna fight this, right? But the devil doesn't always use the outside to attack. And this is what he says, these false prophets are gonna come in among you. This is what Paul told the Ephesians. He says, you better be careful because these false teachers can rise up among you. You've got to be careful. He says, because they are among the flock. Now, please don't do this right now. Don't be starting to look around and be like, oh, who's a false teacher in here? Don't do that, all right? But he's giving us this warning. You've got to be careful. Because the wolf is going to come to the flock. He's going to try to get into the flock. And that is the greatest danger. What is going to take place, or what he's going to be able to do inside the church. The devil, when you think about this, counterfeit money, I'll be honest with you. If somebody gave me a counterfeit bill, I don't know that I would be able to distinguish that it's a counterfeit bill. You know why? Because it looks real. Now, if my son, if Malachi got his green crayon and he got a piece of paper about the size of a $5 bill, and he starts writing $5 on this and he tries to draw a picture and he brings, hey dad, here's $5. I take that and I look at a $5. I think I can tell which one is real. I think I could do that, right? But here's the thing. Counterfeits try to make themselves look as close to the real as possible, because that's how deception works. You try to look as close to the real as possible, and yet you're absolutely, completely fake. we have this idea, well, false prophets are going to be easy to spot, right? False prophets are going to be easy to be able to pick out because they're just, their doctrine's going to be so far out there. No. It's going to be very close to the truth because the devil knows the closer he can get to the truth, the more deceptive he can be. That's why it's not just important to be close to the truth. It better be the truth. You need to make sure it is the truth. Because again, the devil, look, I mentioned this last week. He's not against religion. The devil's not even against people using the word of God. He uses the word of God. The devil uses the word of God. You remember when Jesus is being tempted in Matthew chapter 4? The devil quoted scripture to Jesus. Now, if the devil can quote scripture to Jesus, don't you think he might be willing to use a little bit of scripture with you and me to try to deceive us, to try to think that, oh, this must be true, right? There's a little bit of scripture here. No, we've got to be very careful. The devil has counterfeit apostles, counterfeit ministers, and counterfeit doctrine and religions and miracles and churches and all these things. He's trying to counterfeit it all to keep the truth from people. And so this is why Jesus says you've got to beware because false prophets look like sheep. But here's the second thing. False prophets are revealed by their fruit. They're revealed by their fruit. Look in verse number 16. Ye shall know them by their fruit. Their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So again, notice Jesus does not say examine their, gifts, right? He doesn't say examine whether they're charismatic or not. Look, I know a lot of great preachers that I would say are probably not charismatic, right? They're not very charismatic, but they preach sound doctrine. Right? I don't know if anybody ever heard of a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards preached a message called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And when he preached that message, literally, Jonathan Edwards read the message. He read it. He didn't walk around the pulpit. He just simply stood at the pulpit and he read his message. But God's Spirit was working so mightily that people, even during the message, were coming forward to get saved. I wouldn't say that Jonathan Edwards was very charismatic. I wouldn't say he was very, you know, exciting. He just read his message, but God used it. And so this is why I say we've got to be very discerning. We've got to be very careful. And we've got to examine their fruit. We've got to examine their fruit. Because fruit always reveals the tree. The fruit will reveal the tree, the source, right? Fruit grows naturally. It grows naturally, right? A tree does not struggle to produce its own fruit. Its nature determines its fruit. An apple tree does not struggle to produce apples. It's just its nature. An apple tree produces apples, right? An apple tree is not going to produce oranges. An apple tree is not going to produce peaches. An apple tree is going to produce apples, right? That's the nature of it, okay? And so it's going to be naturally. And by the way, doctrine eventually produces conduct. What you believe will eventually be seen in how you live your life. What you believe will eventually be seen in how you live your life, as well as what you don't believe. There is a lot of people that would say, I believe Jesus is coming back at any day, but their lifestyle shows that they don't believe that. They don't believe it because they're just living any way that they want to live, right? So our belief will be seen in our conduct and how we live our life. And so bad doctrine eventually creates bad living. bad in how we're living our life out. So what is fruit that we should examine? When we're thinking about false teachers, okay, false prophets, what fruit should we examine? If we're thinking, what is the fruit that we're going to examine here, right? You're going to have to help me with this, right? I want you to help me with this. What is the fruit? He says, you shall know them by their fruit. So if we're thinking, if we're examining a false prophet, what is the fruit that we're going to be able to examine of them to see whether it's true or whether it's false? And by the way, it's not just the false prophets. This should be anybody, right? What would be the fruit that we want to examine? What's that? Okay, we should see if they have the fruit of the Spirit, right? Is the fruit of the Spirit being evidenced in their life, right? Obviously, and what is that? Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, right? Is that being produced in their life, right? What else? As we're looking and examining, what is the fruit that we're looking for to see whether someone is a false prophet or they're preaching to true doctrine or true truth? Okay, in what way? I mean, of course, they're going to say they're representing Christ, right? Because they're going to say, hey, we're preaching the Bible, right? Again, a false prophet's not going to throw away the Bible. I mean, how many of the religions just say, no, we're not going to use the Bible at all? Now, they'll say, oh, yeah, we believe the Bible, but we also have another book, right? And of course, usually most times that other book is actually more important than the Bible. But they haven't thrown the Bible away. They've just replaced it with something that they think is more important. So in what way would we say how they're representing Christ? Any ideas? Yeah. What's their testimony? What's their testimony? Is it a consistent testimony, right? Do they have a consistent testimony? Okay. What else? Winning souls. Are they leading people to Jesus Christ? Okay. How are they leading people to Jesus Christ? You know, that's an important thing there. How do you lead someone to Jesus Christ? Okay. It's unfortunate, but there's a lot of people that I believe are being given a false hope, right? I've seen people, you know, seen missionaries and things. Oh, we've had, last month we had 500 people saved, and the month before that we had 600 people saved, and the month before that we had 300 people saved, and they have 20 people in church. Something's not right there, right? Something's going on, right? How are they leading people to Christ? Look, I can get anybody to raise their hand for something, but that doesn't mean they've accepted Christ as their Savior. Yeah, so are they winning souls? How are they leading people to Christ, right? Yeah, Corey. Yeah, are they being legalistic? Are they adding things for salvation, right? Are they trying to add something else to what God has said is already done in Christ, right? Yeah. Yeah, the influence, you know, people that they're around, you know, who are they around? Who is influencing them? Things like that. Yeah. Anybody else? What else? Yeah. Are they what? Oh, good. Are they trying to receive the glory, or are they actually doing it for God? Right? Is it all about them? You know, or is it really? Hey, this is we're doing this for the Lord. Right? That's a good one. Somebody else? Anybody else? Anybody think of anything else? Yeah, Clay. Yeah, yeah. Dealing with that testimony. What's their testimony like in the community and things? And I kind of said this at the beginning, but obviously probably the most important thing we need to examine is their doctrine, right? What is their doctrine? Okay. What is their doctrine? What do they believe? What do they teach about Jesus Christ? Right? Do they teach that Jesus is, first of all, God? Do they teach that he is the Son of God? Do they teach that he has no beginning, that he is from everlasting? Or do they teach that, well, you know, he began at birth at Bethlehem, or he is created, You know, there are some religions that say that Jesus was created and basically he and Lucifer were brothers. The scripture doesn't say that, right? So what is their doctrine? What do they teach about Christ? What do they teach about salvation? Do they believe that salvation is by grace through faith alone, right? Or do they believe that, well, you know, if you're just, you know, just be good, you know, do follow, you know, go to church, you know, try to be a moral person. Wait a minute, is that what the Bible says? We got to go back. What does scripture say, right? What do they teach about grace? What do they teach about the word of God? Do they believe that this is the word of God, or is this just advice? Or do they believe it's the truth? They believe it's the word of God. What do they believe about sin? What do they believe about repentance, right? These are things we've got to find out. What do they believe? What is their doctrine, okay? Again, John wrote in 1 John 4:3, he says, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. So God says there are those that are teaching, they say, well, yeah, we believe in Jesus, but we just don't believe that Jesus is God. He's a good man. He gave us some really good things to follow in our life and how to live, but he's not really God. You know, he can't die for our sins. He can't pay for our sins. We've still got to, look, you better listen to what they're saying. I remember watching a guy, I mean, this guy's a public figure, well-known throughout the United States, really probably throughout the world, and it was being interviewed, and no doubt this interview was probably being seen by millions of people. And a guy in the interview asked him, so he's like, so when you say that, when you say somebody has to go to heaven, are you saying that Jesus is the only way that a person can go to heaven? Very easy answer. Yes, Jesus is the only way. Did he say it? Nope. Well, you know, but God just really loves everybody. And we know that there's lots of different, wait a minute, hold on. What does the Bible say? What does the word of God say? Now, again, they can call themselves men of God, women of God. They can call themselves anything they want. But he says, examine them. Find out from their fruit. What are they producing? What is their fruit? Because many of them are false prophets. Doctrine matters. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Just stories. Nice things. Good words. Fair speeches. He says they don't want sound doctrine. They don't want sound doctrine. They don't want truth. They just want, make me feel good. Make me, you know, I'm going to come to church, make me feel good so that I can go home and feel better about myself. None of this conviction stuff, right? None of that kind of thing. Don't preach about sin. Don't preach about any of that stuff. Just make me feel good about myself. Well, here's the problem, friend. Feeling good about yourself can lead you straight to hell. You don't want to feel good about yourself if that's where it's going to lead you. You want to know what the truth is, right? So what is their doctrine? Again, you said this, their character. Do they display humility? Do they display holiness? Do they show honesty, purity, or are they marked by greed, pride, and immorality, and manipulation, and self-promotion? Again, many ministries have collapsed because impressive gifting hid corrupt character. They looked really good. Man, they can get up and they could talk your ear off, right? They can get up and they could sell you an island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean that doesn't exist. They could sell it to you. But when you watch their lifestyle, when you watch how they live, it's not holy. It's not righteous. It's not pure. And this is what even Peter says in 1 Peter 5:2-3. He says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. So Peter says, hey, we're not trying to be the lords. We're not trying to be the masters. We're to be the ensamples there. And we're not doing it for our own personal gain. It's not supposed to be about us. Again, their character, their influence. What do their followers become? Are those that are following them becoming more like Christ? or are they becoming more like the world? Because a healthy ministry produces healthy disciples. A healthy ministry is going to be producing people that are becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Their priorities, again, who receives the glory? Christ or the preacher? Is it all about the preacher or is it about Jesus Christ? Again, false prophets often build kingdoms around themselves. It's all about them. How dare you question them? How dare you ask them a question? They're the man of God. They're the... You see, it's about them. That's pride. That's pride. And even John himself, John the Baptist, said about Jesus, he must increase, I must decrease. It's not supposed to be about us. It's never supposed to be about us. It's always supposed to be about him. Always supposed to be about Jesus. And then we see the nature determines the fruit. Again, look in verse number 16. You shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. What's he saying? That nature determines the fruit. Do thorns produce grapes? No. Do thistles produce figs? No. Again, it's almost like a rhetorical question. You don't even have to answer it. The answer is obvious, right? You don't even have to answer it. It's so obvious. Good trees bear good fruit. Corrupt trees produce evil fruit. And Jesus is emphasizing this consistency. A good tree is going to produce good fruit. The inward life is going to be seen outwardly. Their life, what they really believe on the inside, is going to be seen on the outward, right? Again, people can fool you for a little bit, but eventually it's going to come out. And by the way, you can never fool God. And again, sometimes we can really give it to these false prophets and things like this, but look, we've got to be careful that we're not doing the same thing. Because we can do the exact same thing. We can make everybody think on the outside, hey, we're really good, everything's spiritual, we're all right. And we know the rest of the week we're not. We know we're not doing what's right. But oh, we can make everybody look like, we can make it look like we're, but what's going to happen? It's eventually going to come out, right? Good fruit or good trees produce good fruit. Evil trees produce evil fruit. Again, even personally, we have to ask ourselves, what fruit is my life producing? What am I producing in my life? Am I producing good fruit? Or am I just trying to fool everybody and make everybody think that I'm producing good fruit? And notice the last thing we find here, false prophets will face certain judgment. Severe judgment. He says in verse number 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Again, this really is sobering. The final destination of false prophets is the judgment of God. And Jesus isn't speaking merely about failed ministries. That's not what he's really talking about here. He's speaking of eternal judgment when he says they're going to be hewn down and cast into the fire. This is eternal judgment. Again, many people have been deceived, but God will never be deceived. God knows the heart of a person, right? And look, this is one thing as a pastor, you know, I have to make sure that my heart is right, that what I'm preaching, that I believe is really the word of God, and that my heart is right in what I'm doing, because I have to recognize that one day I have to stand before God for what I'm doing. I have to stand before God for the messages that I preach, that I preach the truth of the word of God. Was I doing it to deceive people? Was I doing it just to get something? Or was I doing it for the glory of God? There's a lot of preachers out there that, I'm sorry, they make me sick. They make me sick because it's all about them. It's not about the glory of God. It's not about Jesus Christ. It's all about them. And that's not what it's supposed to be. And we've got to be careful, even those that might claim to be Christians. Again, sometimes we can think false prophets are like some cults. Well, that could be true. But there are many that are claiming to be Christian that are false prophets. Again, he says they're coming in among you. They're not just out there in these cults and things. Yeah, those are kind of obvious to spot. But he says these are the ones that are coming in among us. And this is why he says we need that spiritual discernment. We have to know the word of God. Again, it's not just the pastor. Every Christian, we need to take time to study the word of God. We need to take time to know what does the Bible say about these things. We've got to get settled on our beliefs, right? We talk about our young people. Man, we encourage our young people, hey, you know, it's great that as you're growing up, man, you're able to follow what mom and dad believe. But what do we want them to do? We encourage them as they get older, you've got to find out what you believe. You've got to get settled on your belief. It can't just be mom and dad's doctrine. It can't just be mom and dad's belief. You've got to get settled in your own mind what the Bible teaches. Why is it just for the young people though? Why do we think it's just for the young people? How many adults are firmly settled on what they believe? I would dare say not a lot. Why? Because we're not taking time to study the Word of God. And that's why many are able to be led astray by these false prophets, because they're not taking the time to know the Word of God and to know what God says. Again, notice what he says. This judgment of the false prophets is certain. It's certain. He doesn't say they might be judged. He doesn't say they possibly will be judged. No, he says every corrupt tree, everyone, will be hewn down and cast into the fire. Judgment certain. And because false prophets misrepresent God, because they're willing to twist scripture for their own benefit, God says they are going to stand accountable to that. They're going to stand accountable to God for what they have done and what they have said. So how can we protect ourselves from these false prophets? Let me just give you a couple things here and then we'll be done. Number one, know the scriptures. Know the word of God. You've got to know the word of God. You've got to be settled in your beliefs. The best defense against error is truth. You've got to know it. Again, I would have no idea if somebody handed me a counterfeit bill. No idea. But I guarantee you, you go to a bank teller, you hand a bank teller a counterfeit bill, they know. They don't have to look at it. All they have to do is just feel it. They just have to feel it and they know whether it's counterfeit or not. Why? Because they've handled the true bills so much that as soon as a fake comes in, it's easy. I wonder if it's reason maybe because we haven't handled the truth enough that it's hard for us to spot that counterfeit. Because we haven't handled the truth enough. We've got to get into the truth. So know the word of God, right? Number two, test every teacher. Test everyone. You better test me, right? When we have a guest speaker come in, just because I've invited a guest speaker, now, yes, I've tried to vet them. I've tried to make sure they line up doctrinally and things like that. But just because I invite a guest speaker and doesn't mean, oh, you know, pastor invited him, this guy must be true. You know, we just believe what he says. You better check him. I guarantee you, I'm checking him what he says. I told my dad the other day, I said, you know why one of the reasons why I try to be so very careful in what I preach? Because I know he's checking me. You know what? I'm glad. Can I ask you, are you checking me? If you're not, why not? Why aren't you checking me? Why aren't you checking to make sure that I'm teaching and preaching the Word of God? Anyone that stands up and preaches and teaches, you got to check them. You try every spirit, God says. You test, you find out whether they are truly preaching truth or not. Don't just believe somebody because they're popular. Don't just believe something, you know, oh man, boy, that was such a great emotional message. Well, was there truth in it? I've heard a lot of emotional messages that didn't have any truth in it. I've heard Baptist preachers get up and preach a message that had absolutely nothing to do with the passage of scripture they were preaching on. nothing? Are we testing? Compare everything with Scripture. Don't just look at personality. Don't just look at their character, their popularity. You check and make sure, and then you watch the fruit. Watch the fruit. Now again, we understand fruit takes time to grow, right? Fruit takes time. I just planted two new peach trees. I got four. You know what? Haven't got peaches off of those new peach trees yet. It takes time. But eventually, I'm going to be waiting to get some peaches off those peach trees. Now, if I start getting lemons off of them, I'm going to be very disappointed. Are we willing to, we've got to test them, right? But then we've got to be consistent too. Just because somebody's been preaching for a long time, all right, let's keep watching the fruit. Let's keep seeing, is the fruit, what's the fruit coming? Is the fruit good fruit? Or are we starting to see some corrupt fruit? Wait a minute, why are we seeing corrupt fruit? I thought for a couple years now, it sounds like he's been preaching and teaching the truth, but we're starting to see some corrupt fruit here. What's going on? You know why? Probably because it's a corrupt tree. You're not going to get good fruit from a corrupt tree. You're not going to get corrupt fruit from a good tree. It takes time, so we've got to be patient. And then, of course, obviously, we want to see Christ glorified in all. And so this is what he says, beware. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Inwardly, they're ravening wolves. Hey, we've got to use spiritual discernment. We've got to be willing to judge and evaluate and say, hey, this is right, this is wrong. Hey, this guy might be popular, but he is absolutely contradicting the word of God. He is so far from what God is saying. But we have to know the word of God. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be discerning. Lord, this is why you've told us to ask and seek and knock for that wisdom and that discernment. Because we know the devil's going to try to hide it. The devil's going to try to be as, he's going to bring that counterfeit, which is, it's going to look like it's true. It's going to look like it's right, but it's not real. It's fake. He's going to become that minister of light. He's going to allow his ministers and his servants to be ministers of light. Lord, they're leading people away from the truth of the word of God, deceiving even those who may even know Christ. So Father, I pray you'd help us to be discerning. Help us to know your word. Every one of us to realize how important it is to know the scriptures, to know what God says. Lord, that we would test the preachers, test the teachers. Make sure, not being belligerent, but just making sure that we are listening and what we're hearing is truly from your word. Help us to look at that fruit that's being produced. Lord, more than anything, are you being glorified? Are you being honored? Are you being lifted up? Or is it all about men? So, Father, would you help us to beware of false prophets? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.